Glorifies the Lord. So as you come in, you stop and enjoy some coffee or whatever, say hi to everybody, and why don't you join us in singing this morning.
Magnifies the Lord.
sorrowfully our soul and magnify the Lord in what we do. Say hi to everybody as we get things rolling this morning.
I think we can now.
Yeah,
now. Yeah. It still sounds like there's a little bit there. Good morning. You thought it was going somewhere and I didn't take it there. Good morning. It's nice to see everyone. In today's welcome, you'll notice I'm going to talk about something different. Today is actually going to look a little different. And I always describe change in this way. If I loved my wife the same every single day, she'd just get used to it and it started to get mundane. And so I try to think in my marriage different ways that I can show that I love my wife. Sometimes I do have a microphone and I can just tell her I love you. And that's unfair to the rest of you, and I apologize. But today is going to look a little different because we're trying to figure out exactly how we want to share the love of Christ and do the worship service on Sunday. Please don't be alarmed. All we're doing today is a little bit with prayer and share that I'll let Seth explain, but we're going to move two songs from the beginning of worship of this morning schedule, and we're just going to put them on the end. And so, whew, that's getting crazy. I'm just kidding. It's really not. But we feel that it'd be a great way to kind of reflect on the message and what God might be doing in your life to maybe close your eyes at the end of service and just really think about how you're going to apply the lesson or just sit and in awe of God and worship. And so we're just trying it out. We're going to see how that's going to work. And so that's Absolutely. Just your warning of what's to come.
You should have, as you came in, gotten one of these. Hold them up, please, really quickly. Okay. We want to make sure that we didn't waste them, right? So now open them up. Here we go. We're going to do this together. This is learning,
right? Watch out.
There's
fire. Watch out. Fire.
So here's the deal. There are a lot of things starting this week, starting right away with Tuesday morning. Moms and Munchkins starts. And so if you have a kid that is preschool and younger that isn't really in preschool yet, hey, Moms and Munchkins is at 9 o'clock on Tuesday mornings. They get to run around in the gym. Jessica DeGreek has a great time giving them a little lesson and having some little fun activity. And so come and join them. And then starting Wednesday is Awana's big kickoff. And so, hey, we have dinner starting here at 5 o'clock. Hey, just come eat dinner. And then Awana kicks off at 6 o'clock. And then, just to let you know, Friday is going to be the kickoff for Route 456. And so they're going to have a fun night here at the church from about 6 to 9. And so just come if you got kids, grade 4, 5th, and 6th, send them on over. And Terry will get them all lined up for what the year looks like and all of that sort of stuff. And so make sure that you look in that bulletin. Now, here's another thing. If you look right in front of you, there is a 4x6 card right in front of you in the chair, right in front of you. Everybody grab it out. Here we go. Wave it at me. Here we go. Wave it. Ah, man, this is that's way better than the bullet. Yeah, they're 4x6.
It's not 3x5.
Yeah, not 3x5, 4x6.
4x6.
Yeah, so here's the deal. This is what we need you to do this week. We need you on one side. We are starting to find that we've got emails all out of whack. We've got addresses and different things like that. Hey, would you put down on that for me right now? Okay, I don't care if you're first time here, been here for years, or never plan on coming back. Guess what? Write something down on this, all right? I need your name, your address, your phone number, your email, possibly your bank account, and just some other great things, just so that we can keep track of your bank account and just continue to keep going. So wrong. But I do need that, and You will write something on it later on in just a second. And so everybody should be writing on that, please, because that is the best way we can get a hold of you guys.
And so I have a question, because yes. If I was sitting down there, I'd have this question.
Yes.
Should one family fill out one, or should everybody in the family fill out
one? You know, one family can fill out one and then just put everybody's name on that.
Okay.
That would be
so
awesome.
That's the best
and then,
method.
Yeah, ages, all that sort of stuff.
So yeah. Moms or dads can do
yeah,
this.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. The one other announcement I have, we also are starting stuff for youth group as well. So Tuesday night is junior high, starting at 7 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, we're still starting at the same time for senior high, 7:30. And so that's all kicking off this week. We're getting back into the swing of things as well. We had breakfast this morning with student leaders, which I'm way excited about. It's our discipleship program, eating together and going through God's word. And then Pack and Lunch Mondays start as well this Monday. We call it Palm. And so lots of stuff going on throughout the week with youth group as well. But we're also going to Guatemala in November. And I announced it last week, so it's just real quick this week. If anybody that's going to Guatemala has a form that you can sign up and buy popcorn from them to raise money for the trip. And so if you'd like to do that, you can come see me. I can point you at the many people going to Guatemala. Cordelia has her sheet right now. Raise it up, Cordelia. There you go. Not everybody go to Cordelia, or do, but if you'd like to buy some popcorn and help support that, we'd greatly appreciate it. They're turning them in next Sunday, so it's only this week that we're really
Absolutely.
Doing it, and last week. So.
Hey, I know Terry has an announcement, and then we'll ask you guys if you have any other announcements for us.
Hey, and I do the children's ministry here, and now that you have given Seth all your addresses, parents, I need you to fill it out for yourself back here again. I know some of you have done it. I know you might not have any changes, but I have had letters come back in the last couple weeks. And so I have changed addresses that I don't know who, and I also have allergies that I have to keep track of. So I'd prefer if you would redo them again. They're in the back table over here. If you're ready to sign up for Awana, you can sign up for Awana at the same time. And also I need, if you're gonna have a baby this year, please sign it. If you have a baby, please put the baby on there too, okay? Because I need to know who's going to be in the nursery and also who's coming up to like that third grade or three-year-old class and all that. And I don't get the babies on that list for some reason. So I need all kids from 0 to 6th grade, okay? Thank you.
Any other announcements this morning?
I have one.
Virginia.
The lovely Kyla Burns will be giving birth to a baby soon, and some friends of her would love to throw her a baby shower, and we'd like to invite the ladies of the church. It will be from Friday, September 22nd, but if you would like more information, you're interested in that, invites are on the back at the information center. Thanks.
Great. All right, now is where you get to actually flip that card over, and we're going to talk about, please forgive me, Elizabeth, sorry.
Hey, I'm Elizabeth Shipstead, and this morning is our the transition day for the kids that are turning three to come in, or have turned three to come into Children's Church, and Jerry and I are going to be doing Children's Church for those three-year-olds, so if you have a new little kiddo coming in, would you walk back with them this morning, and then that way we can get birth dates and dad and mom's name, so, okay?
Perfect. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Tony, you too. I totally forgot.
Tony Fast here. I put a notebook back on the information center that has a sign-up sheet on there for people that want to go fence down around Sand Springs. Don't necessarily committed to it, but I'd like to have a number, like a rough idea how many people would like to go. And there was an email sent out from the church yesterday. If you did not get that, we have some copies of some information to pass out to you, and that is also on the information center.
Absolutely, thanks. All right, great. Thanks, man. Hey, if you flip over that card for me really quickly, I'd love everybody to do this. Hey, we're getting to the point where our family is getting a little bit bigger, and one of the things is that every week we get to come as a family and pray. But we also know that, just passing around a mic isn't going to get all the prayer requests we need. And also the fact of just partnering with you guys during the week. And so on that 3x5 card, what I'm going to ask you guys to do, every week there's going to be those cards in your seat every week. And what I'm just going to ask is that you would be willing to fill out a prayer. And what we'll do is... we will sit down as a staff. We just want to be praying more diligently for the people that are in our church, but also just to be able to know what's going on. Sometimes we miss things with phone calls or even just people standing up. We can't get everybody. And so what we're going to start doing is asking that for the time being right now that you would put them in the offering plate as it goes by. If you don't get a chance to or you think about a prayer later on, there is a box that sits on the information center that you can just drop that in. And then what we will do is we will compile a list and so and then get it to the prayer team and also possibly to our church family through an email. And so with that, what I'm going to ask you to do today is fill out a prayer on there. And you can write whatever you want on the bottom. Hey, this is only pastor's eyes only. Or hey, can you give this to the prayer team? Or hey, share with the whole church family. And then what we will do is just get it onto the right people. And then what happens with that is we're going to be transitioning into having people stand up to actually taking those prayers and then putting them for the next Sunday's prayer and share. And then that's kind of how we're going to roll with that. And so today, one of the things... for prayer, and I'm going to ask you guys to stand and share with us if you want to, but man, I've just been thinking a lot about our firefighters around here. Last night I read a couple great posts about, how tirelessly they are, and man, I saw this Apache helicopter like fly over the football field yesterday and all that sort of stuff, and it just makes me realize, like, hey, God is still good. I mean, He gives energy to all the people, but just being thankful for them. And so that's going to be my huge prayer today. But are there any other prayer requests that you have this morning for us? Man, everybody's doing awesome. Or you're like, I already wrote them down and I'm putting them in the plate. great. Well, let's just pray as a family and then I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward after that. God, like that song says, that we sung as a church family, that our souls magnify you. And I'm sitting there during the song worried about all the things that have to go on today or all the things we have to communicate or whatever, and I just realized that my soul is not magnifying you. And so, God, whatever we come in today to church with heavy hearts, with joyful hearts, with hearts that are hurting, Lord, I would just pray that you would give us exactly what we need today and that we would give you what you desire, and that's our hearts. And let's give you worship and that we would see you for who you are. God, may we find our strength in you. May we find our hope in you. May we find peace, understanding in you. And God, as all the things are going on around us, Lord, would we just realize that we can rest in you. But God, there are people who are just tirelessly out in the fields and just going hard. And Lord, I would just pray that you'd give them an extra bit of your strength. Help them to go just a little bit more and help them realize that you are with them. Give them an overwhelming understanding of how great you are and how much you love them. God, we are your church. Help us to be that. Help us to be clothing ourselves with the things of you. God, would we be people of mercy? Would we be people of forgiveness? Would we be people of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and that, so that you get the glory, not us. God, you're a great God and there's nobody else who'd rather serve. In your holy name we pray, amen. I'll have the ushers come forward and we'll take the morning's offerings, and the worship team will lead us in music.
Thank you for singing with us.
kindergarten through preschool, you can head on out of here. No, kindergarten through preschool, did I really just say that? Preschool to third grade, sorry. Wow. It's going to be a good sermon, y'all, today. It's going great, starting awesome. Hey, if you haven't been with us for the last couple weeks, we've been going through the book of Mark and just kind of seeing the things that Jesus is talking about in terms of, hey, how are we living our lives? How does the gospel actually affect what we are doing? And so, hey, it's not any different today. And so if you have your Bibles, would you flip with me to Mark chapter 13? Mark chapter 13. And there's been some questions to me lately of, hey, when you preach or when you do the thing you do up front, what sort of Bible do you use and all of that sort of stuff? And so I will always, just to let you know, I will always usually preach out of the New Living Translation. Okay, but today we're looking at the English Standard Version. Now, a lot of you guys are like, what in the heck are you talking about, Seth Runner? And so I'm going to give you a quick, really quick thing on Bibles. You ready for this? Okay, this is Seth Runner's 21-year-old Bible salesman pitch. You ready? I was the best Bible salesman at the Bible bookstore. We sold Bibles. Okay, so here we go. You ready? If you are looking for a Bible and you are a super huge scholar and you want, like, hey, the closest to Greek without knowing Greek, right? Like word for word translation. Hey, the best Bible for you is the NASB, New American Standard Bible. Some of you are like, no, King James. No, that's too much poetry for me, right? Okay, so word for word translation, New American Standard Bible is what it's called. Okay. Better, easier thing for that. Hey, it's written at a 13th grade reading level, okay, to give you a little bit of understanding. Okay, 13th grade reading level. And then, right after that, there's a whole bunch of other ones, but we're not going to get into it. Hey, the next one down is what we call the English Standard Version, or the ESV. That's written at a 9th grade reading level. It's the closest to also a word-for-word translation, but they're okay with getting the story across, not as much as thinking, no, we have to go word-for-word. Word. And so you'll notice the difference between, hey, it's a little easier to read, okay? And then if you want to get like, hey, I want to get where most people live, it's the NIV, right? The New International Version. Okay, that's what the NIV stands for. And better yet, that's at an 8th grade reading level. And so they will do a lot of, once again, word-for-word translation, but it is going to be not such wordier words. It's going to be a lot simpler, okay? 8th grade reading level. Now, if you want to live where the rest of us live, right, because every single publication that's put out to you, every single newspaper, every single magazine that you read is at a 6th grade reading level, right? I bet you didn't know this, okay? So newspapers, a 6th grader should be able to pick up and read, okay? And so that is called the New Living Translation. Okay, now some of you are like, well, wait a second, what about the New Living Bible? Okay, now the New Living Bible, which was a huge kind of craze in the 80s and early 90s, and what that was a paraphrase. And so what they would do is they would take the idea of what the Bible is saying, and they would just go, hey, how can we say this instead of two paragraphs? How can we get down in two sentences? And so they're not really concerned with what did actually Jesus say, but no, how, maybe, hey, here's a quick overview. And so right now, you guys just got a huge lesson on Bibles. I know you weren't coming to church for that, but I just know that a lot of people have asked me. And so for me, I usually sit in the English Standard Version. And so that's kind of where I'm at most of the time to do my study. And then actually I preach out of the NLT, and I love it. If you want something that's, man, I've been confused by the Bible my whole entire life, the NLT is a great place for you to start. If you've never picked up a Bible in your life, if you don't own a Bible, you definitely need to come and talk to me or Brian or Terry afterwards. We have so many Bibles sitting around this place. We would love to give you and so that you can take it, including the NLT version, okay? So if you've still stuck with me after that rant, let's open up Mark chapter 13 and let's read this together. And it says this. And as he came out of the temple, Jesus, this is, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. He's literally looking at the temple going, isn't this thing amazing? Man, look at the temple. It's phenomenal. And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings all around you? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things might be, and what will be the sign? When all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing there where he ought not to be, let the reader understand this. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as had not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect who he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all these things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from the heavens and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see that the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heavens. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or in the midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Would you pray with me? God, this is a lot to unpack. There are some of us in the room that might read this and just not understand a complete bit of this, Lord. Would you open their hearts to understand you? God, would you allow us to see what you're accomplishing in our lives? Would you allow us to know that you've got everything under control? God, this is your word. You spoke it. You want us to learn from it. And so, Lord, would we be listeners to that? In your holy name I pray. Amen. You know, I read that scripture, and for some of you, you're just like, well, no, duh. I mean, we look at it, and you're going to think that literally I'm going to talk about end times today. I mean, right? Like, we look at it, and we go, well, Mark is obviously talking about the end of the world, so let's get ready for it. Let's get into Revelations. Here's the deal. I'm just not going to. I look at this, and I find incredible encouragement for our walk with Christ. Here's something that we've heard over and over again, and that we've said over and over again, that if we continue to be so heavenly minded, so end times minded, we're no earthly good. Well, that's one of the things that I think that God, through the Gospels, is just reminding us over and over again, is how do we look at these scriptures, but then not focus on something that's not there? Meaning, it's really easy to look at this and go, see, that means the end is near, so let's get ready for it. Let's go save a bunch of food, right? Like, we're going to stockpile it. We're going to create bunkers. We even see this almost even back, 8 years ago, right? What happened when Obama got elected? Gun sales skyrocketed, right? Everybody's like, it's the end of the world, right? Like, this is Antichrist. It was just crazy, right? And it was a great time to invest in guns, okay? And then now we look at it, and now Trump is elected, and everybody's like, it's the end of the world, right? Like, it's just this ebb and flow, and everybody is constantly looking toward this. And what do we do? How do we react to it? We're all about self-preservation. We're all about getting what I want, getting what I need. Man, it's about me. I'm going to protect myself. My dad sent me a package 4 months ago that was like, hey, if the end of the world comes, open this, right? Like, I love my father, and my father wants to take care of his family, but I look at it and I go, all right, Dad, I will. But if I get into trouble, I'll definitely think about you. But I started thinking, like, if the end of the world comes, I'm just going to let you guys know all this right now. If the end of the world comes, or if the end of the world comes, you're all dead with me. But if we're all still alive, there will be no electricity at my house, and I have a lot of meat. We are having a barbecue, right? Come to my house. We've got food. We'll have a barbecue. Then we'll go to Brian's house, and we'll have a barbecue, right? Like, we will know that God is taking care of us. This isn't some Bernie man, we're going to start a big fire and dance around it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the idea of, where does our hope lie? Because we can look at all of this stuff, and we can start getting really afraid. For instance, did you know that Yellowstone National Park has had more earthquakes this year than in the past 10 years combined? Do you know that if Yellowstone Park, like, erupts, like, Billings is gone, Bozeman is gone, like, all those places are gone? But yeah, I mean, that for some of us, that can create a lot of fear within us. Man, we've got conversations of people going, well, we're just one earthquake away from California sliding into the sea. Right? Like, and a lot of people are like, yeah, that'd be awesome, right? Keep them out of Montana. We're one button push away from a nuclear war. That was just in the news 2 weeks ago, right? North Korea. Trump says something back. I look at it and I go, this doesn't surprise us. Well, it shouldn't surprise us, but what is our reaction to it? I think Jesus has a great response to that. Because here's, everybody is looking at, look at what we've built, Jesus. Look at this awesome temple. And Jesus reminds them, wait a second. It's all going to be gone at some point. It's all going to be rubble. Everything you try to build up, someday is going to go away. And I think it's an amazing reminder of, okay, then what's going to happen? Because here's the deal, you read other scripture that starts talking about, hey, in the end times, the wheat is going to be separated from the chaff. And what is he really meaning by that? He means that, hey, those who are Christians and those who are non-Christians are going to start being separated. But can I just tell you that right now it's already happening? We don't have to wait for the end times. We don't have to wait for the very end of all things for us to line up and go, did I make it? Am I out or am I in? No, I look at this scripture, and the only reason why I think that is this, is because, man, I talked to lots of people who are just like, I'm so sick and tired of my job. I don't even know how, but guess what? It supports what I want to do. So I guess I'm just gonna drudge through it. Man, I'm really uncertain how to talk to this friend because they treat me like garbage. But they have really cool stuff, and or they give me what I need. Or we have marriages who are sitting there going, I don't want to deal with it. I talked to somebody last night on the phone and they just said, I'm done. I'm sick and tired of being berated all the time. I'm done. I don't want in this marriage anymore. And I thought you said like 6 months ago that divorce isn't an option. And their only response is, it is now. Like, we're dealing with a world that, guess what? I think to myself that, hey, it's easy for me to look at the rest of the world going, of course, these things are going to fail. Of course, buildings are going to tear down and the earth is going to fail. But, man, sometimes I don't think about what's going on with the failure in our relationship with God and the failures of what's happening with our relationships, with our jobs, with how we deal with other people, how we go shopping. I mean, all these different things. In fact, actually, so much so that we now have videos that we love to put on YouTube about people's epic fails, right? For instance, like these right here. We get so excited about what we're gonna do, but then we get hit on the head. And then we think, well, duh. Of course that's going to happen, dude. Come on now. But people are laughing at those, right? Like, this is something that's phenomenal. Guess what? I know that's going to happen. He gets up and just goes.
Really too?
And then we want to be super amazing about what's going on in our lives. We're going to show off, right?
Donnie Boom.
Oh, you guys thought he was going to fall, didn't you? See? Yeah.
And my Auntie Sam.
That would be me. Always. Always. Once again, showing off. And he falls and he trips. There are some of us who are just oblivious to this world, that there's a game being played, and we could care less about what's going on. And that is really funny. He's playing a sport with his hands in his pocket. And we try really hard in our lives, and we just don't make it. Or we're trying to figure out what's going on in life, and we're in a maze going, I don't know how I'm gonna make it through this. Or, hey, I'm bigger, better than you, I'm gonna show you what's up. Maybe adults shouldn't play with kids. I don't know what the example of this. And this is just, we see people all over the world that are just maybe stupid, right?
Oh, you're under attack.
It doesn't go our way. And so what do? We throw temper tantrums. And we lay on the ground. That's not fair. It's not fair, this world. Or we should just know we've reached our prime. We're not professionals. And this is me showing off. Last one. The sermon title today is, Are You Surprised? Are you surprised? Are you surprised that a 150-pound guy runs to jump on a bounce house and wants to jump on a kiddie slide and it breaks? Are you surprised by that? No. Right? We know it's going to break. But how many times have we done things just like that? Hey, watch this. Right? Famous last words of a redneck. Actually, that's hold my beer. Right? But famous last words of people. Hey, watch this. I'm going to do something amazing. We make stupid mistakes all the time. I think when we look at epic failure videos all the time, it reminds us that, wait a second, it's okay. It starts this process in our lives that we can say, well, the idea of, well, just do your best. Well, I did my best and I failed. So now what? Move on. Or some people can walk away and go, well, at least I tried. Some people have the idea, if you're going to fail, do it spectacularly. Some people say, go out with a bang. But I wonder if we're done looking at people fail in their marriages. I wonder if we're done with people failing in their jobs, or failing in our hobbies, or failing in our friendships, or failing in social media, failing in school, failing in our morality. Failing in Christianity, failing in sports, or some of you may be in here just going, I'm failing in life in general, and I'm barely holding on, buddy, so you better give me some hope. I think the thing is that as long as we can watch videos like this, it can continue to keep us blind to our own failures. Now we have this like stack up that we can go, hey, maybe I can feel better about myself. So when the world is crashing around on us and things are happening, I wonder if we are really living our lives, if we're surprised. Oh man, I really didn't think that would happen. Or if we want to actually go, no, I'm going to change something about this. Each and every one of us is in a different situation in that. Some of us are really struggling with, man, I'm in a new phase in life and I don't know what's going on. I just don't want to fail. But what if we could actually look at something different and go, it's okay, in every single situation and wherever I'm at, I can actually have the foundation to go, nah, I'm not surprised by that. Right? When the world around us goes completely to pots, maybe we can go, no, my heart's in the right spot. I know what's going on. I know what's happening. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret. I'm not trying to be self-preservation. And God, I'm exactly where you want me to be. And so God, help me out with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that when you're failing in your marriage, that's exactly where God wants you to be. But if you'll listen to God, that's exactly where he can go from there with you. And so if you're still with me and you're still taking notes, here's the deal. That first one right here, when everything is going on around us, Jesus says this. He says, look towards your hope. Look towards your hope. In 9 through 13, verses 9 through 13, I'm going to read them with you. They don't have to be on the screen. says, be on your guard. He goes on and says all these things. If no matter what happens in verse 11, when they bring you to trial or whatever is going on, trials are around you, they deliver you over. Do not be anxious beforehand what you're going to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother, and then it goes on to say, everything else is going to go up, going to happen around us. But the very end of verse 12, or verse 13, sorry. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The reason why I said look towards your hope in that aspect is if you continue just to kind of only look for the next thing that's going to happen, we are going to completely miss what Jesus Christ is asking us. And here's the deal. Your hope should be Jesus. Your hope should always be Jesus. Not hope in, hey, I'm going to have a bigger bank account, or hope that I'm someday going to get a raise, or hope that, hey, I'm not fixated on, well, I hope my marriage gets better, because here's the deal. Yeah, every one of us hopes it, but here's the deal, is if we don't do the things now, I don't know what our hope can be based on. Jesus says this, he says to people, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's saying three things. I'm the way. I mean, if you've lost your way, come back. If you don't know what the truth is in your life, Jesus speaks truth like crazy. There's a verse that I've told you guys over and over again, Proverbs 23:23. It says this, it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. What does it take to buy something? Do you just magically get money in your pocket to go buy something? Does it just appear, or do you actually have to work for it? Do you have to dig for it? Do you actually have to do something to go get it? The problem is we work really hard to find the truth, and then we'll give it away like crazy for things that aren't the truth. For things that don't ground us, for things that aren't the hope. Because then he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, if you want to have the life, Jesus says this, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And if you want to have the life, then your hope is grounded in his life. Because at the very end, it says this, but the ones who endure to the end will be saved. Meaning we're not looking for an easy ticket out. We're not looking for the magic pill. No, we're actually looking for the idea that Christ, your way is the best way, and it's going to be the hardest way, because everything else in our lives, we've talked about this last week, that the sin easily takes us away from that. Look towards your hope. Jesus. It always will be here at this church. And the next thing as we look at this piece of scripture is Jesus is saying, when all these things are going on around you, watch out, pay attention. Because we don't simply as Christians ignore what the book of Revelation says. Right? We don't simply just go, oh, well, that was nice. No, he's actually going, I'm going to give you some of these things. And even in this own chapter, he's talking to his disciples going, these things are going to happen around you. Just watch out for them. You don't need to worry about them. They don't need to rule your life. No, just pay attention. Know what's going to be happening. The problem is that we start to just dig into the word and we go, oh man, this is obviously what it means. Right? This is what's going to happen next. I mean, we've had so many people come over and over again past the years, right, and say, hey, I mean, there's a whole book written on it, 87 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in the Year 1987. I think that was the book title. 89, 101, I don't know. But I mean, there's all these things that people are consistently trying to go, I know that Jesus Christ is coming back here in this time. And Jesus, all he's saying is, wait a second, when all these things happen, watch out, pay attention. verses 14 through 23. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing there where he ought not to be, I'm just going to say that, like, I don't know. I don't know what that means. It says, let the reader understand. I've looked at it a lot of different ways, and I'm not even going to go there, but it's this idea that, man, it looks really bleak. That when everything around you just is desolated. And there's some of you right now that's what it feels like. You have family members that are just going through a really hard time in medical terms. There are others of you that just want to, man, when I was on that phone call last night, I just felt like, oh, I literally just, the rest of my night got taken away from me. Because I'm like, how do you even help? How do you even go there with somebody? It goes on to say, hey, watch out for people who are going to pull you away from that. Remember your hope again. Watch out, it's going to happen. Pay attention. 21, and then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it, because you've already been paying attention. You've already been watching out for false Christs and false prophets who will rise and perform signs and wonders to lead them astray. But be on guard. I have told you all these things beforehand. Man, he already told them all the stuff in the first previous. Mark is trying to say the previous 12 chapters, I've already told you who I am and what's going on. I've already told you these things beforehand. Hold on to those. This is who the Christ is. That means that we, as people, have to put in the work, right? And we have to just put in the effort into going, no, I'm going to know who Christ is. Talk about being separated, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, man. That's really easy. I know who Christ is. I've already been looking. I've already been paying attention. It's not a surprise to me. You're not it. I'm going to choose this way. But we always, once again, want the easy pill. We're led astray pretty darn easily. The third thing, if you're looking, still taking notes with me, is that why should you be surprised? Guys, what? I mean, we've been talking about the gospel for a while now, for about 7 weeks now, and why should we be surprised that the world is ending? Why should we all of a sudden go, oh my goodness, I can't believe it? I mean, I'm going to read verses 3 through 8 with you, and then I'm going to read verses, and then I'm going to read verses 24 through 31, and you tell me if this is, you don't have to tell me, but if this is what it sounds like today, you ready? And he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Peter, James, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they led many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet, for nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. There will be floods. These are the beginnings of the birth pains. Man, have people not been trying to take people away from Jesus for a long time? Have there not been wars waged over and over again? And there's so many earthquakes in our world. There is famine going on right now. And Jesus says, that's just the beginning. Then he goes on to, in verses 24 through 31, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I just think that's interesting that we just had an eclipse, by the way. Anyway, let's move on. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds to the ends of the earth and to the ends of the heavens. For the fig tree learns its lesson as soon as its branches become tender and puts on its leaves. You know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. I'm just going to tell you that that verse right there is the whole turning point for me in this scripture. Like I actually get really excited about this because Jesus has been preloading them over and over again. This is who I am. This is the hope that you have. This is what God is doing. And everything else around you is going to go away. But guess what? I'm still here. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. You guys don't remember that song. It's cartoons, sorry. But I love that idea of Jesus is saying this. Everything else around you is going to pass away, but I will be here. This is great news. This is amazing because guess what? Now, as a people still here, knowing that things are going to pass away and Jesus is the way and he's still sitting there going, my words are true. I have the hope. That's where, for us, we get to have the party when the electricity goes out. That's where we get to be able to say, Christ, you've got me. You've got everything under control and I'm with you. And now the only thing we have left to do is to stay awake. Stay awake. Verse 32 through 37. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you is, and to all is this, stay awake. This for me is not just to sit there and sit on a chair and go stay awake. No, what he's saying is stay awake. Understand what's going on. Don't be surprised. Where's your hope? Because then it literally changes the way we live our lives. Because I'm telling you, I think I'm being lulled to sleep by things around me all the time. I love when I go into, and this is really hitting me, I love when I go into a room and there are five people that have cell phones and four of them are looking down at it. I don't love that. I'm just joking. What if we're being lulled asleep by that? You know, we talked about at the very beginning the things failing in our marriages. Man, this week this hit me. And I'm being lulled asleep in my own marriage because I think that I've worked super hard all day long and I come home and I deserve to have 20 minutes by myself so I can unwind and watch whatever I want to watch or do whatever I want to do. And there are kids in my household going, we just want to hang out with you, Dad. And I've been lulled asleep. Because I think whatever is on my tablet or whatever piece of mail I got is more important than that. For some of you who don't have kids, it's your wife. You come home, I had a really hard day. Man, what if you just talk to your wife about it or your husband about it? This week, Brian and I were driving to Jordan, Montana, and we left his house at 5:45 because I was 15 minutes late, and we get just south of the dam, and all of a sudden we turn around this corner, and both him and I are like, deer! It just comes straight across, and bam! We just hit it, right? Smoke it, right? And I looked at it, and I know exactly what I would have done if I was the driver. I would have taken this fist and I would have punched the steering wheel as hard as I possibly can. And I would have been here preaching with a broken wrist, right? But Brian's just like, eh. Gets out of the car, looks at, first of all, I can't even get out of the car because the deer hit the side, right? And so Brian gets out and he's just like, well, it happens. And I just know, like, my reaction would be like, ah. And Brian, this is what he says. He goes, dude, it's just a truck. I said, yeah, but it's a nice truck. And he's like, you don't understand. It's just a truck. I said, yeah, but now you have to fix it. And now you have to do this and do that. And Brian's like, well, I get to talk to my wife a little bit more about this, and we get to figure it out. And then the craziest thing is, like, well, I don't, this is what was so funny to me. We were looking for duct tape in the car, and he didn't have a single bit of duct tape. But guess what he had? Zero to Hero stickers and H2O stickers. And so we stuck those Our Church stickers all over them, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ is holding this vehicle together. This is amazing, right? Like, I'm thinking about this going, changes the arch perspective, because I've been lulled asleep to think that, hey, man, it's all about the car. Or it's all about, I don't want to be inconvenienced now. You know, we hear people say like this all the time. This is why we can't have nice things, right? I would much rather have my kids break things having fun than to sit there and be nice and proper. Now, there is a difference, right? We have to take care of some of our things. But, like, what if it changed our perspective? I don't want to be a lull to sleep anymore. And this is where the turning point is, if you're still taking your notes with me. So then what? So then our lives become about investing in the eternal things. Our lives become about investing in the eternal things. It's not about self-preservation. Famine shouldn't scare us to start stockpiling things, and when things go astray that people are going to start fighting over food, right? It's not that we're going to stockpile and no, I'm only going to take care of what's mine, and I'm going to create a bunker shelter. I don't know. They're both the same thing. Shelter and bunker. Same thing, Seth Runner. But I look at it and I go, this shouldn't scare us. Actually, what it should do is it should make you rely on God more. It should actually start going to the process of going, I want God's things more than I want my things. We are so stuck on future things that we forget to live in the present. What if we started realizing that there is an eternity waiting out for us? How would that change the way that you deal with your neighbors? If we lived with an eternal focus, literally, how would that change the way you converse with your neighbors? If we knew and we know that the world is ending because it's not a surprise to us, how would that change? Most of us still don't speak more than, hey, how's it going, to our neighbors. I've been living here for 14 years, and I still haven't invited one of my neighbors over to my house for dinner. That's crazy to me to think about that. Because all God asks us to do is be the sower of seeds. Just put it out there. We don't know where it's going to go. And the last thing is this. If you're here and you're looking at it going, man, I'm investing, I don't know what you mean by hope, and I don't have any hope. My question to you is this, then what is your hope? And I think you really need to focus on that. There are some of us who have already claimed Jesus, and now we've got to invest in the eternal. We've got to invest in the things that matter. But there are those of you who haven't accepted Christ in this room, and you're sitting there going, I don't have any hope. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the hope for you. And so we're going to continue to worship with a couple more songs. And I've gone way over my time, but that's okay. My question is, as you do these things, as we sing, maybe you need to refocus a little bit on, this is my hope. Jesus Christ is my hope. And for some of you who definitely wanted me to maybe speak on some end times a little bit more, we can have conversations about that in my office later. But I think that as I've looked at this piece of scripture that, man, we don't need to be surprised. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus says. That's where our hope comes from. And so if you need to do a little work with God today, take these two worship songs and give it to him and say, God, I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to trust in you and all of these things. Let's pray. God, you are our hope. Would we invest in the things that matter eternally? God, we love you. Thank you. Let us worship you with all of our hearts in these last couple songs. In your name we pray. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. Your sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Become more aware of your presence. you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
oh, happening. And so when you hit a deer, when you hit a deer, it shouldn't come as a surprise. When
you're having money problems, when people are sick, when there's cancer, if everything was provided for us and life was hunky-dory, we'd be in heaven. We all get really surprised when bad stuff happens, but the bad stuff is what brings us to God. And so what is your hope in? Is your hope in a raise? You're not going to get it. You're not going to ultimately get to be the richest person in the world. Nobody in here. That's a bet I'm willing to take. Nobody in here will be the richest person in the world, humanly speaking. And so what is your hope in? To go your entire life without ever being sick, without ever having troubles, and never being drawn to God? We as Americans sometimes forget that we need God. The benediction, the closing verses that Seth had prepared here, are Romans 6, 15 through 17. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Today is a national day of prayer for Hurricane Harvey, and so I'd like to close in prayer for the souls down there, but also all the fires going on here, all the tragedy that we should not be surprised by. We're going to pray that we have an opportunity to serve Jesus in those moments. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for beautiful worship in your name. And the reminder that as struggles happen in this world, Lord, sometimes what we view as hardship and tough things to go through, and Lord, those are the only things that will ever seep through our hardened hearts to really get us to rely on you. And so, Lord, in this flood down in Texas, and in the thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of fire all over the northwest of the United States, and it just seems so polar opposite of one with too much water and one with not enough, but Lord, you are enough for both. Lord, as we lose the things that we think are important, may we gain the only one that is, and that is you. And those of us that already know who you are, may we come alongside and be the love and grace that only you can provide. We love you, Lord. As we go through our day, may we take today to not be surprised, but to be hopeful. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have a good Sunday.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go.